Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. Today on Sword and Sandals Cinema, I am very honored to be speaking with Michelle Brittany about the coming of Moon Knight. But first, a quick legend of Hercules. Thousands of years ago, Hercules, Astraea, and Mercury were granted immortality, eternal youth, and superpowers by Sentinel-1, an alien AI computer charged with protecting the Earth. They are now the planet's resident guardians, the Space Sentinels. Hercules has super strength. Astraea can morph into any animal. Mercury has super speed. All of them can fly like Superman. Hercules obviously loses his ability at some point as he rides a Pegasus to get around in Freedom Force. Their first challenge as a team, defeat Morpheus, who has all of their abilities combined and more knowledge of Sentinel One's secrets than they currently command. Morpheus was the alien machine's first attempt at creating a human superhero. The S1 learned that too much power can corrupt, as Morpheus turned on him and became Earth's first superpowered supervillain. In some of their other adventures, our champions go on to fight giant robots intent on stealing our gold, Kronos, a time traveler from the future, sent to sabotage the construction of our first moon base, an AI sorceress who moved the North Pole into another dimension, Anubis, a jackal-headed ET scientist who blew up his own planet by unleashing pyramid power. He was then trapped by the ancient Egyptians and freed by British archaeologists 5,000 years later. Comedy and relief are provided by the annoying little maintenance robot, M.O. Some quick trivia before we wrap up. This series was originally named Young Sentinels, and there was actually an attempt at launching a live-action version. I've seen clips of these episodes, and it would have been a great thing had they come to pass. And now, without further ado, Michelle Brittany. Greetings and welcome, Michelle. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules. I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. I've been looking forward to Moonlight launching, although I don't know very much about the character, but the prospect of having ancient Egypt and Egyptian gods in the Marvel Universe is very exciting to me.
It's exciting to me as well. And this is actually only a recent notice of the series that's going to be coming out tomorrow on Disney Plus. Moon Knight is the name of the series. And obviously I was immediately attracted to all of the Egyptian elements and the iconography that's included within the trailers that I've seen. Try not to go too deep into much of it because I would like to be able to watch it at some point. So I want to try and keep spoiler-free as much as possible. So most of my discussion about the character will actually come from the comics, specifically issues 1 through 5 that originally published by Marvel Comics back in 1980. But before I get started with that, I thought I'd talk a little bit the overview of the Disney Plus series, how that fits within the MCU, and just talk a little bit more of a little bit of the trailer and talk a little bit about the Egypt mythology, and then turn to an overview of the comics to give a little bit of history of this fascinating character.
Sounds great.
So, Hercules, have you seen any of the trailers, perchance?
I've seen a few of the trailers, and it reminded me very much of Legion, which was an X-Men type series that was playing before the MCU reacquired the X-Men, where it took place not only in our waking reality, but in various states which might have been delusional, might have been supernatural. You never quite knew for sure how much of what was being shown was the character psychology as opposed to how much was happening because he was a mutant. So I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed WandaVision, which also had things happening in altered states. So that's why I'm looking forward to Moonlight, because from what I saw in the commercials, on the trailers, this promises to be very much like that.
Yeah, one of the things that I did get from various trailers that I watched is that our main character, his name is Mark Spector, but he also has an alter ego or another persona or personality by the name of Stephen Grant, who is obviously unaware of, and unable to tell the difference if he's in a waking or dream state. So it does sound like they're carrying that particular theme from some of that early shows and prior to the X-Men and things like that, and bringing it into this. And this was actually a great character for that, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So as I mentioned, Moon Knight will premiere tomorrow, Wednesday, March 30th. It is a limited series. It's going to have 6 episodes. Each episode will drop once a week through May 4th. This series is considered a darker MCU series, and the genre mix is action adventure, superhero, and psychological horror. And if listeners remember any of the trailers, there's a particular clip in which Moon Knight is wailing pretty hard on a particular creature. We don't see what the creature is, but it is a brutal, a very brutal scene or clip. So the series does have a rating of TV-14. And as I said before, it is part of the MCU, but it's unclear of exactly where it's going to fit within the MCU. I did read that the series is set in 2024, but it's not within any particular time frame as yet. Maybe as the series unfolds over the weeks, we'll get more of an idea where it will fit. The Marvel character is Moon Knight. He was created by writer Doug Monich. He's also the writer of Conan, Godzilla, Monsters Unleashed, and Batman, among several other titles for both DC and Marvel over the years. And also artist Don Perlin. Don Perlin did artwork for Ghost Riders and Ghost Rider. There's not two. And Transformers. So based on the trailers and the interviews that I watched over the past few days, Moon Knight is the first MCU character to premiere on the small screen prior to being introduced thematically, the large screen. Viewers anticipate that there may be cameo appearances from other MCU characters, such as Punisher, who did appear in a crossover in the Moon Knight comics, or perhaps even David Banner or the Hulk. And that's based on the fact that I think it's Vincent D'Onofrio who portrays David Banner and the Hulk in the MCU universe. He was actually sighted in Budapest while they were filming Moon Knight. So there's kind of speculation that maybe he'll show up in the show. Mm. Oscar Isaac is the gentleman who portrays our masked hero or anti-hero. And he has dissociative identity disorder, or DID. So Isaac also portrays a mild manner fellow who works in a museum gift shop by the name of Stephen Grant. But he also is portrays the American mercenary Mark Spector. Isaac might be familiar to audiences who have watched the movie Dune, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, as well as some other Star Wars. He plays Poe, as well as Ex Machina and many other films. Isaac has stated that Moon Knight is a legitimate character study, as well as taking on, quote, mental health issues very seriously. One of the things that's commented with regards to DID is that it's often incorrectly associated or identified with schizophrenia, and they're actually two separate and different disorders. Some good examples of DID portrayal within our media is a U.S. series called The United States of Tara. It also comes with commentary by, I'm trying to remember, there's a particular association of disorders, and so they do commentary to discuss DID. Mm-hmm. And then an award-winning Korean series from 2015 called Kill Me, Heal Me. I did check to see if the series is available on Netflix. It doesn't appear to be. Netflix is great about having a lot of Korean shows, but this, unfortunately, is not one of them. Unfortunately. But there is an effort to shed a more positive and a more informed and intelligent portrayal of DID in Moon Knight. Other stars include Ethan Hawke. He portrays Arthur Harrow. Mae Calawa. She plays Layla El Falou. F. Murray Abraham, who is the voice of Khonshu. And Gaspard Ulia, who portrays Mogart slash Midnight Man in one of his last roles before his death in January. There's a variety of directors. There's actually three. Primarily four of the episodes is by Egyptian director Mohamed Daib. He is also the director of independent Egyptian films Cairo 678 and Estabak, which means clash. They're very socially oriented type of films that really take on hard themes. And looking at Wikipedia, there was an interview with Daib in The Hollywood Reporter, in which he talks about being the director of four of the episodes as well as the executive producer. And apparently Marvel approached him and asked him to present a pitch for Moon Knight, which includes Egyptian mythology that we mentioned earlier, as well as characters that the superhero is associated with in the comics. So Daib and his writer-producer wife, Sarah Goher, put together a whopping 200-page document outlining their vision for this series, which included their intention to depict Egypt and Egyptian people in a more positive way than they felt had been done in previous Hollywood productions. Daib elaborated that American films and series often use Orientalist stereotype, treating Egyptian people as exotic guides and desert wanderers, or ignoring the fact that the Giza pyramids are beside a very modern but ancient city, Cairo. He wanted to portray Egyptians as normal human beings and Egypt as a normal place, like modern America, while also hiring other Egyptian crew members to work on the series. He added that the series would be, quote, hard, serious, and about big topics, end quote, like many of his previous films. So that's rather exciting. The other two directors that is a team, Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, and they will be directing two of the episodes. The series was created by Jeremy Slater, who's also worked on Fantastic Four, Death Note, as well as the Umbrella Academy that's on Netflix. Composer is Hashim Naza. He is an Egyptian, and I believe, based on my review of listening to a lot of his music on YouTube last night, he seems to do a lot of kind of classical Egyptian-flavored music, but he is looking to cross over with contemporary Egyptian music that American audiences might not be familiar with. And this is his first American or English-speaking project that he'll be composing music for. So it should actually be pretty darn exciting. Filming locations include Budapest, as I said, Jordan, Slovenia, Hungary, and Atlanta, Georgia. Kind of an outlier there, just a little bit. sets based on the trailers that I was watching, there seems to be several beautiful sets that are outfitted with Egyptian mythical iconography, lots of gold, the pyramids, scarab beetles, just a lot of different lush looking iconography that just, you know, gives me a good vibe about the show. In addition to the show that will be premiering tomorrow, in April, Marvel will be releasing an anthology of collected Moon Knight stories. The collection is titled Moon Knight, Black, White, and Red, Black, White, and Blood. So that will be available at probably your local comic book store, as well as take a look in the comic bins for other volumes. There's about 9 or 10 volumes. The comics have actually been around for about 40 plus years, so there's a lot of comic book material. As I said at the beginning of the hour, I actually read the first 5 issues, and I'll touch on that in just a moment. I wanted to talk about the Egyptian mythology real quick, to give you a little bit of flavor of the gods that are going to be in the show. We have Khonshu. He is the god, one of the gods of the moon, and he is a taker of vengeance. And he is one of the main gods that you see in the trailers. Amet. He is a funerary, she is a funerary deity. She is the devourer. She is the eater of the heart. She sits next to the scales of justice in Duat when there is the weighing of the heart versus the feather Malat, the goddess of truth. And Amet sits there. And if your heart weighs heavier than the feather of truth, then she will devour your heart and you cannot go to the afterlife. Amet is associated with Ethan Hawke's character, so that should be kind of interesting. In the trailers, you see he's got a cane with a two-headed crocodile type of cane. And mm-hmm. I think you see the arm of Amet coming out of a portal. But we haven't seen her in the actual trailers. There's a third goddess, Taweret. She's associated with childbirth and fertility, and her name means she who is great. So some real exciting stuff there with regards to Egypt, the iconography and the mythology in this new series. So real quick, because I know we don't have a lot of time, but an overview of the comics. So Moon Knight first appeared in Werewolf by Night, number 32, way, way back in August of 1975. And then Moon Knight continued to appear in a number of different issues over up till about 1980 when it got its own ongoing series. So like Marvel Spotlight, Spectacular Spider-Man, Marvel 2-in-1, and many, many others. Moon Knight received his first ongoing series in 1980. And it, as I said at the beginning, it was written by Doug Monich. And for the first five issues, the art was by Bill Sienkiewicz. I cannot pronounce his name, but he's very famous. And I apologize for really slaughtering his last name. But they were the main creative team. And Amazon has digital copies available, so those are what I read. Moon Knight was a crime-fighting adventure that, again, has been ongoing for over four decades. So in reading the first five issues, we learned that we're introduced to Mark Spector, who's part of Raoul Bushman's mercenary group, terrorizing southern areas of Egypt, and they're trying to gain power, terrorize people, and Bushman has grandiose ideas of ruling the world. Bushman embodies terror by having a tattooed face and steel teeth. He bites people, innocent victims who get in his way. In issue one, Spector has a change of heart, and he allows Marlene, an Egyptologist, to escape. Bushman leaves Spectre in the desert to die because he realizes that Spectre has turned on him, and Spectre dies. But he experiences rebirth in Pharaoh Seti's tomb at the feet of a statue of Khonshu, one of the gods of the moon. Revived, Spectre dons a white crescent-shaped cape and decimates Bushman's army. Spectre, Marlene, and Frenchie, one of Spectre's closest friends, make up the Moon Knight's team. They kind of conceive Moon Knight in the comics, and they are kind of a trifecta of developing this alter ego for Spectre. Spectre also creates two other personas, Stephen Grant, who we are going to be introduced to in the television series. But in the comics, he is a Wall Street wizard who makes Spectre very wealthy, a millionaire. And Jake Lockley, who is a streetwise cappy who has created a network of contacts to keep tabs on criminal activities in New York City, where they're based. Moon Knight's suit is jet and silver with the crescent moon-shaped cape, so he can guide in the air, and he carries darts as well as one or two other weapons, but pretty minimal. Frenchie is an innovator and pilots Moon Knight's stealth plane. Spectre talks about Moon Knight exists as, quote, pure primeval force without emotion, so he has no conflicting emotions. But we do see in the first five issues that doesn't quite congeal within Moon Knight. He does have some emotions there. There are reoccurring friends that include Crawley, who is a disadvantaged person, and Gina, a waitress, diner owner, a single mom. Brief references are made Spectre, Stephen, and Jake as not being able to differentiate between each persona, as well as having some sort of tie with the Khonshu statue, manifesting a kind of a restlessness within the man behind the mask. And based on my reading, even though I haven't read future volumes, the idea of the DID is explored, but it wasn't in these first five issues. There's some kind of hints to it, but it hadn't been fully developed. In issue number three, we're introduced to Anton Mogart, who is also Midnight Man. Midnight Man is in the television series. He is portrayed by Gaspard Ulu. But in the comics, he's an older art collector and thief of priceless objects. The Moon Knight and Midnight Man confront each other before Midnight Man disappears. And Moon Knight admits having taken a liking to the thief. So I'll be interested to see what develops in the series. Some of the themes within the first five issues, crime fighting, obviously, a struggle to control the concept of vengeance and balancing that with justice process that can occur so that Moon Knight is not taking justice into his own hand and becoming a vigilante. Also the personal struggle to control the various personas. As I said, we get kind of a hint that there seems to be, you know, not clear understanding of where the lines differentiate. And obviously something that will be fully explored within the television series. And also the value of disadvantage in a society that's so set on materialism and capitalism. And this is especially explored in issue two, titled Slasher. So that's kind of an overview of the series that'll start tomorrow and run through May 4th. Again, like I said, it drops once a week. I don't know what time, although I did see, it sounds like maybe 3 a.m. in the morning. I don't know which time zone that is, but for diehards, be ready very early in the morning. but it sounds like a really exciting series. I might just get Disney Plus so that I can watch the series and then come back in May and do a report on my thoughts of the series. But
that would be awesome.
So that's the series. I'm very excited about it. There's lots of information out there. It is exciting to see this in this character get explored on the small screen, and again to have so much Egyptian ties and an effort to portray Egyptian people in a more positive light, as well as also taking a deep dive into mental health issues and I'm sure many other themes. If I had to say something that another film that seems kind of similar for me, and it's the 2004 French film called Immortal. It was directed by Enki Bial, and it's based on a comic book series, The Carnival of Immortals, also written by Bial. And in that movie, Horus is the god that basically kind of takes over the body of Nicopol. And pursues a woman who has some sort of tie with the god. And so it kind of, you know, this series kind of makes me think a little bit of that. But the it'll be interesting to see how it develops and whether there'll be a season two. Isaac said that it's definitely a limited series run, but we'll see, you know, if they'll pursue a second season. So that is my report, Hercules. I really appreciate this half hour to discuss this and anxious to hear what people think of the series.
I have Disney Plus, so I'm not going to be up at 3 in the morning to watch it, but I'll catch it the day after. So I guess within 48 hours of its airing, I will have seen it, and I look forward to your report.
Oh, thank you so much, Hercules. And again, thank you so much for this time. It's been exciting to talk about Moon Knight with you and excited to have another conversation with you in May.
Now, how can people contact you and how can they explore your wonderful website on all things Egyptian, especially mummies and other things that you're creatively working on or worked on?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I do have an author page at Amazon. So you can, listeners can take a look at everything that I've been working on there. I do have a new essay out. I need to connect it, but the book hasn't, or the collection hasn't released yet. It's called A Vindication of Monsters. In that, I've written an essay about Bernie Wrightson's Frankenstein illustrations. It's called Beauty in the Grotesque. I have a website. It's michellebrittany.com. And for those who have an interest in Highlander, I actually have a call for paper, so please take a look at that. And then if you have an interest in mummies like I do, please take a look at Google search engine. You can go to Michelle's Musings on Mummies, and I have about, I think that perfect number of 42 episodes of Michelle's Musings on Mummies to take a look at. And otherwise, I'm also talk about derivative literature and films and media of H.P. Lovecraft. So I kind of hit a lot of different pop culture subjects.
Yes, you do, and we are blessed by having all of that creativity and information with us. Again, thank you for your kind words, and thank you for being here tonight. And it's always a pleasure having you on, and I look forward to next time you're on.
Oh, thank you so much, Hercules. I hope you have a great night, and thanks to all the listeners that are tuning in live and who listen later when this is ready for streaming.
And yes, until next time, everybody, joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Take care, and thanks again, Michelle.